I agonized a lot over, you know, exactly where to spend money. But in the end, I think I really should have just built a little bit more money into it and said, you go with it and do everything.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews that we do every single Friday. And we bring in experts in the short-term rental game. And occasionally, we get to talk to other short-term rental investors that are willing to have a conversation with me, let you listen in on the conversation to learn the ups and downs and all their lessons learned into short-term rental investing. And today, we've got Miss Jody Evans. So, Jody, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited about the conversation. You've been, what I always like to start with is the backstory. You know, where are you from? What paid the bills? And what got you interested in real estate investing and short-term rental investing? And then we'll talk about the properties that you guys own and the lessons learned.
Okay. So what pays the bills is I've actually raised money for Christian nonprofits. And so have been in that business probably, well, since I graduated college. So it's been a long time. And I got interested. My husband and I got interested in short-term rentals really because we love to travel. And we had done a lot of different places. We did a lot of Airbnbs and ended up having one Airbnb that kind of fell into our lap that was actually a place that we stayed at. And when we were looking to invest in something, we ended up just, you know, kind of a crazy story, looking for open houses, and one in Florida came open. So we bought that actually before we had ever joined or heard about Viadacy, and so made a lot of mistakes along the way. So
we did property number two a little bit different, didn't we?
Much different. So
on that property in Florida, how long had you owned that before you started maybe realizing that you wanted to look into a different way to do it?
That we had it. And we bought it in January of 2021. It was November of 2022, joined with Viadacy, and had a lot of different things going on with that one, but whatever.
Whatever, right? We're trying to fix some of those things right now on that one, right? It's and that one was a challenge because it's in a market that's not zoned nightly rentals, right?
It's a monthly. So
yeah, which became a little bit more of a challenge for sure when you're trying to do short-term rentals in one of those markets. Now, is it a weekly market or a monthly market?
It's really zoned for monthly. So, it's zoned for monthlies. So,
yeah, it's not, in one of those, it is a challenge when people are looking in some of those markets, particularly down in those markets in Florida that are zoned for monthly rentals versus weekly or nightly rentals, because the underwriting is totally different and the expectations are a little bit different. And it's a totally different, it's like, it's good for the snowbirds when they come down during that season. But outside of that, and you want to rent it in the summertime and you want those nightly rentals and those beachgoers and the family vacations, they're not typically renting it for a month. So it can be a challenge, right? It's something, I think that's a good lesson for people to hear, is on the front end, you really need to decide what you're going to be doing with the property and how you're going to make money with it. And it's way different if it's zoned monthly versus weekly or nightly.
That was a big deal. I mean, when we got it, we were looking for a second home too. So it was a vacation home. It was something we were going to use. And we have. And it's been a good property for that.
And you guys are based in...
But it hasn't been great.
Because it doesn't underwrite as well as a monthly property. And I think that that's an important point for people to understand, because we get calls about that all the time. I talk to people all the time that buy properties, and then they contact us and they're like, hey, can you change this around? Well, we're kind of limited in some of those markets unless you try to, you know, fly under the radar, maybe break a couple rules and try to get that. But that's a risky proposition, a risky game to play, because you might get caught and now all of a sudden you're not able to do it anymore. And I think a lot of times that's the opportunity for some people is to try that. But, you know, but when you didn't buy the property strictly as an income property either. So you guys bought it because you were looking for a vacation home, ultimately maybe a retirement home, to where you can enjoy it during the, you know, when it starts to get, the weather starts to not
be great in Kentucky.
Whether you want in Kentucky, right?
That's right. Yeah,
exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about diving into property number two, because that property really is, it's one of those properties. If you remember, people always ask me, they're like, well, what if what if we're looking at the same properties? And I always tell people, well, I back out of the deals. And this is one of those that I was, that flew on my radar about the same time you guys were looking at it. And if you remember, we were analyzing it and you were kind of getting a little hesitant. I said, Jody, if you don't buy this, I'm buying it. Right. Cause this one's on my radar. Right.
And yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah.
That's when I knew.
And so
it was
I was
good.
Like, if it just so, usually that was, I wasn't trying to talk you into buying it, but I was like, if you don't, I am. It was a true statement. This is one that we really had on our radar as well. And you've done a, and I'm so glad to see what you guys did with it as well. But this one was not too far from home. It was on the Bourbon Trail. And you're actually in the property mm-hmm. right now, because we lost internet at home, you were telling me right before, right?
Right. So fortunately, one was open.
Right. So was this one going to be, because I don't remember from the very beginning, was this one strictly an investment type of a property for you, or was it something that you guys wanted to have something on the Bourbon Trail, even though it is close to home?
It really was something we wanted to do the Vodacy way from start to finish. Part of the reason I was down in Florida and I saw, and you guys were having that Tampa meetup at Dan Gorman's place. And that's when I said, I'm going to go and just see and talk to a few people there. I'll talk to Sean, you know, see if there's anything I can do for the property in Florida. But when I got there, it was really, I ended up talking to Keith Elam a lot and a lot of other people, Jeff Chisholm and Dan. And in the process of that, a lot of talk about Bourbon Trail. And really the first time I had seriously considered it was, it's like everybody is so excited about the Bourbon Trail and it's in my backyard. Why don't we do something with it? And I mean, we literally live 30 minutes away. So we know all this. We have friends at the distilleries. We just thought it would be a good thing to do. And so after that meeting was when I really got serious about, I did a lot of things there. I ended up having a connection with Jeff at Chisholm at North Point. I had a great conversation with Dan Gorman where I basically told him all my excuses about why I had not done something more with the Siesta property. And he said, well, you know, we all have 24 hours in a day. You'll do what's important to you. And I was like, oh, that was
right. That wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it's what you needed to hear, right?
Truth bomb. I mean, it was just like, okay, you're right. And so I just need to get with it and stop making excuses and start working the program the way it was meant to work. Because I had done a lot of skipping around on it before, because I thought I didn't need the acquisition, you know, with the Florida property. I thought I didn't need this. I didn't need, you know, two or three sessions. And so I kind of skipped around. And I think in the process of skipping around, I missed key components. And so anyway, one of the things I did this time around was I watched everything over again from start to finish. And I really took notes on each portion of it. So it was different. It was different going through it. I came to different conclusions about all kinds of things. So, and also, the other thing that was really great about the meetup time was seeing Mike's art in person. and not just pictures of it, seeing it in person and kind of the wow factor that it made when you walked into the home, I'm a visual person, so it was really incredible. So,
yeah, it's interesting because I'm a huge believer that there's power in proximity, being around people, like touching, feeling, seeing stuff. And that Tampa meetup was really good. And you and I've talked about this before. It was like the turning point for you because you were able to see a lot of this in real life. Oh, and huge. You were able to talk to different people, not just listening to me on Zoom or in the courses or whatever else. You're actually able to have these conversations, but also see it come to life. Like you said, the custom artwork, when as great as it looks in photography, when you're in the property, it just brings it to life and is even a different level. And I tell people that all the time. It's like, we want to be able to market our properties as effectively as possible. And that means beautiful photos and really having this property tell a story throughout the listing and optimizing it. But more importantly is when somebody says yes to our property, we want them to walk through the door and think, holy crap, this is even better than I thought. Right. And that's what that artwork kind of is able to do versus them walk through the door and say, oh man, they did a great job on the photos, but this isn't what this is. You know, it's kind of a letdown. And there's a lot of properties like that. We don't want to be that type of a property. And you were able to see that in real life on Dan and Claudia's Tampa property. And which gave you the confidence to then go do it on your Bourbon Trail property, right? And your point, like we were talking at that time, we were looking in on the Bourbon Trail. We were pretty excited about it. You talked to Keith and some of those guys that were excited about it as well. And you started thinking, there might be something to this. I live in an area that, like, this is my backyard. We know this area very well. And you started looking there. But being there in person and seeing it tangible, like the tangible aspect of this game, I know that the answer is yes, but that gave you a lot more confidence to go out and then ultimately execute on all that, because one, it's not that cheap to do, right? But you also were able to see it, but you also understand that there's going to be a return on that, right? It's like, okay, am I willing to pay the price on the front end to get the return on the back end? And you're another point that you brought up that's a little bit a different story to that, but I want to make sure I highlight it, is because you owned a property and you got in, you said, you know, Sean's laying out this blueprint for me and there's this process to follow, but I felt like I didn't need this. And I always tell people when they say, if I've already have a property, where should I start? And I say from the beginning, because there are things that you probably didn't pick up on or do correctly. And I don't know where that's going to lie in the course, in the process, but the process and blueprint is a step-by-step process. It's a paint by numbers process. And if you miss a couple steps, it doesn't do really good, or you're not going to maximize by, you know, doing step five if you miss step three, for example, right? Because they all build on each other. And I think you notice that going through it the second time.
I definitely did. And I definitely noticed the, you know, not having researched the zoning and that kind of thing. So that was a big deal.
Yeah. And so when you go through the process, though, it's not, I always tell people, I don't sell the easy button. I sell a button that, you know, is going to be, it's the hard road in the beginning. And I want your life to be easier on the back end. I want you to maximize on the back end. But by wanting that on the back end for you, I have not found a way to make it easy on the front end. And so, if I can figure out an easy button on the front end and an easy road on the back end, I'll be the first to tell everybody. But I've yet to figure out a way to do it without putting the work on the front end. And so, you know, when I say that, my guess is that this second property was quite a bit harder and more time consuming to set up than the first
property. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun, you know, except, you know, when you saw the money going out, but before the money starts coming in.
Right. So, for X amount of time. And you're like, I'm so glad that you bought into this, because one, I was very tied to this property as well, cause I was underwriting it and we really wanted to buy this property ourselves. And I was so glad that you brought it to life the way you did and really dived in. And I mean, we would have done almost everything that you did, I would have done on that property. And But again, it was expensive to put together because you're looking and saying, hey, man, my artwork's more than my down payment on this thing, right? And, you know, and the furnishing costs are more than my down payment. And that's usually the case. It's going to be pretty close to what your down payment is on a property to furnish and set up. And that's I don't think a lot of people realize that. But let me ask you, having done it both ways, is the first property was a little bit easier. I know that the back end zoning with 30 day rentals really affects its performance, but it was cheaper to furnish and everything else. But the other one, the Bourbon Trail property, was more expensive, harder on the front end. Which one would you say is an easier back end?
Oh my goodness. The Bourbon Trail is doing gangbusters. So right. That's what's great to see. So
yeah, it's doing, I think correct me, where are we at? Like, you booked out every single weekend for the whole year, for like two or three, right?
I think I've got two or three in December left, and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's no surprise. And you guys, we always post the listing links, the Airbnb links, in the show notes, so you guys can go check it out. I always say success leaves clues. Go look at these properties, reverse engineer them. There's a recipe that works. You'll find that all of our Vodacy signature properties pretty much are the exact same recipe. And so we always post them in the show notes, so you guys can go check them out. And Jody's property is no different than that. It's a really fun property that you really brought to life. You brought the area to life, you know, the close distilleries, every room's got a theme of one of the major distilleries. You've got it as really set up as that whiskey Bourbon Trail experience, right?
Yes. It's a lot of fun. I think people love it. Even if they're not coming here to go to the distilleries, it's still a fun theme to everything, and lots of things to do here between the fishing in the pond and playing all the different games, and hopefully we'll get to do even more. We'll be doing some things with the outbuildings too. So
yeah, you've still got a lot of potential on the property. It's like 10 acres, right? And it's got another outbuilding that you can deck out if you want to. I mean, you got a lot of possibilities there still.
Yeah, there are two outbuildings actually that we can use to do, like, I don't know. We want to turn one into a cigar poker shack. That I think would be a lot of fun. And there's plenty of room to do like a putt-putt course and all kinds of stuff. So, and maybe a pickleball court, all kinds of things that we could do.
Love it. So, yeah, I'm excited, and it's already doing well. And then the additional, like, you're just, you know, what we'd like to see for you guys is, can, you know, you're setting a high watermark in the area, you know, after that first year, and then continue to raise the bar where the competition is just way behind. Like, the goal for all of this is to operate in the top 1% of these markets. And the ultimate goal is to operate and be in a category of one where everybody's chasing you, right? Instead of trying to stand out in the crowd, it's, hey, listen, we're our own property. Nobody else is like us. And because we're different, we command completely different rates, completely different occupancy. And when you know, this is one of those types of properties that has the potential to do that for sure. You know, and you're well on your way to be a 1% property already. You might already be. We need to probably look at it, but it probably hasn't been launched quite long enough for that yet, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have a whole year of bookings yet. So
yeah. So, but when you do that, like, you say, hey, listen, this is a pretty fun game to play, right? Yes. And like Dan said, hey, you can kind of, you know, shit or get off the pot, if you will, right? He's like, hey, I don't want to hear your excuses. I remember when you told me so the conversation, he's like, hey, Jody, I have the same 24 hours you do, right? And so you decide what's a priority. My wife always tells me that if I say I don't have time for something, she said, no, you have plenty of time. We all have the same amount of time. You just need to decide what is a priority. And so just tell me it's not a priority. She always tells me that. She's like, and because that's kind of hard to say once in a while, like when somebody tells you that. Teresa, my wife, says that all the time. She's like, no, don't tell me you're too busy. Don't tell me you don't have time. Just tell me it's not a priority. And it's so true though, right? It is true when you look at it that way.
It is.
So you just mentioned a couple of plans with this property. Any plans, additional plans for expanding, scaling, getting into additional properties? What are the plans for the future look like?
We would love to look at another property. Hopefully we could do something this year. I love it that you know, might get 100% bonus depreciation.
Yeah.
So I would love to look at something that we could get into this year. I don't know if we'll be able to. We're looking at it. I don't know exactly
nice.
What area. I'm very open on the areas. We do have a piece of property in Asheville area, just outside near Waynesville. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of other Odyssey members are doing great work out there. It's a possibility. That could be something, but it could be something totally different.
That'll be fun, and it'll be fun to help you navigate that, obviously, right? And it's and trying to figure out those next markets or something that you can dive into. You know, we're looking at a lot of different, you know, non-typical mm-hmm. destination markets that are on our radar right now that we're looking at. There'll be a lot of fun, I think. And so it's going to be pretty fun. You know, we're really, really close. Probably by the time this one airs, the old, the tax bill will probably be signed by then. I think it just passed the Senate. And so it's going to go back to the House for some iterations or them to sign off on, I guess, what the Senate did. But it's, and I know that probably by the time this airs, we're going to have the news that we get 100% bonus depreciation back into law for the long term, which is going to be really, really fun for us investors that understand that and are able to use that, because you're getting pretty significant discount on the properties when you're able to implement that.
Absolutely. Even this year.
So
even in last year in 2024, it was a
yes. Yeah.
Huge tax savings.
Did they? Yeah, it can be. It's huge. And it's ultimately, you know, there's four ways that you get your returns with real estate particularly. I always say five returns with short term rentals. But one is the cash flow. And that's what most people look at, is just the cash on cash return. It's like, what's your cash on cash return? Usually that first one is the lowest return you're going to get. And then the next one is note pay down. Somebody else is paying that note down for you. And so you're getting a certain amount of that note paid down every single year. The third is your appreciation. That's when the return starts to get really nice, especially on leveraged properties, because if you have 20% down on a $500,000 property and it goes up 5%, you just made 25% return on your $100,000 for in that example, right? So the third is appreciation. That fourth one is the tax savings, especially year one tax savings with bonus depreciation. That is a huge lever and a huge return. And that's where we see properties on their year one returns when they do that. When you combine all four of those, you're seeing, you know, close to 100%, 100% return on that money. You put $100,000 in and you just gained back $100,000. It's not unlikely to see that when you start to stack all those different things. And, you know, the lowest one might be a 5% cash on cash return, but the rest of those add up pretty fast. And the fifth one I always say is the personal use, and, you know, where you can use it a few times a year and have fun with friends and family. So, you know, but that's there's good returns on those with real estate, and the tax thing that we're talking about right now can be pretty exciting. So for the next one, we're thinking about maybe this year, maybe next year when it works out financially. But what are some of the lessons that you would do different? I know that you went through that whole process on the Bourbon Trail and it's working out beautifully. What would you do on maybe on the front end to make it a little bit easier? Is there any lessons or changes that you might do different on that property number three?
Well, I think I would go into it knowing that everything takes a little longer than you think it does. So that was, I'm not a very patient person. So that was hard for me to begin with, because I thought that I thought the renovation process would be half of what it was, but then, and it was helpful for me to actually hear other people across the country in our community, then having the same issues. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not the only person dealing with this. It does seem to be across the board, because I just hadn't done.
Yeah. And were you dealing with supply issues or was it more labor issues?
It was more labor issues, really. I mean, you know, renovating the inside, doing some different things. We had the craziest, you know, this loft that was open and had this little pony bathroom, half a bathroom, but with a pony wall in a bedroom. It's like, that definitely has to change. Yeah.
No, that doesn't work. I want a full wall there, right?
a wall that, you know, had some privacy.
Yeah.
So, it was a little interesting.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's a good point to bring up. Anytime you have any sort of renovations on a property, I always tell people, you plan on, you make sure you have a contingency on the budget. You'll make sure you have, give yourself a decent contingency budget wise, mostly because when you're doing renovations on existing property, sometimes you run into stuff that you couldn't, you really didn't foresee, right? There, when you start tearing stuff down or start adding stuff, you end up with having to fix things or, you know, make make adjustments, and that makes the budget go up, you know. And I always say you need to have like a 20 to 30% contingency on budget, but also that extends the timeline and things take longer, and they always take longer, it seems like, on renovations. I've done a lot of renovations on properties. I've done a lot of fix and flip deals over the years, and we always had contingencies built in for time and budget, and because it, we, you know, we always seem to go over those. And so it's really good to walk into it, like you said, with your eyes wide open of saying, okay, here's what I'm expecting, here's what we're targeting, knowing that I need to be, I need to make sure I can have holding costs and everything else along the way if I don't, because I might take an extra month or two to get that done. And that can be really frustrating.
Yeah. And I think I agonized a lot over, you know, exactly where to spend money. But in the end, I think I really should have just built a little bit more money into it and said, you go with it. And do everything. Yeah,
appreciate you bringing that up and saying that, because it is exactly how we feel. It's the feedback we get all the time, is that it is just, you know, you ask the questions and somebody will answer. Somebody will be there to help for sure. Those of you listening, we know how valuable your time is, and I always appreciate you spending with us. I know you love these conversations. If you got any value out of this conversation and you know somebody else who would like to be a part of these conversations, share the show. Those things help us a lot because we don't run sponsorships or ads on the show. You get to hear these conversations uncut and unedited usually, unless Jody tells us to edit something out. But sometimes we listen, Jody, sometimes we don't. So we'll have to see if we get any edits on it. So no, we love to bring these conversations to you guys. And so if you have more than 30 seconds, like it, review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final most important thing I ask you guys at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.